Morning, and we'll go ahead and pray. Father, we're grateful and thankful to be here and take some time and study out your word as we start our new topic in the Old Testament. Allow our hearts and minds to be open to how you dealt with mankind throughout time and how you're dealing with us now and to see how you're going to deal with mankind in the future. And Lord, allow us to have discernment with it and see what truths apply to our lives and what truths are good for our learning, and that we might not be able to. Amen. So has anybody ever done an Old Testament study before? Survey, study, anything? Don, you have? Yeah. So we've obviously, all of us in here, have read the Old Testament. So when we look at the Old Testament, in a whole, when we're reading that, what do we see about God? What do we see? Anything?
His power.
His power. Excellent. Good. What else?
You only see his love. Mm-hmm. And his forgiveness.
Right. Yep, we see love, we see forgiveness, we see his power. All right, so in the Old Testament, what we're seeing, right, with those things you mentioned is how God deals with mankind, right? So the Bible, the Old Testament, the Bible itself is God's story written down for us, right? It's a story for us. Now, when you think of creation, why would... Want a fellowship, right? Yeah, you want some fellowship. You wanted a race, a creation that would, on their own and their will, love and serve in fellowship with him back, right? Yeah, so he creates mankind to fellowship with them, and that in their own will have the understanding that I'm doing this as a choice back to my creator, right? It's mankind's choice to go back to their creator and serve him. All right, yep, so we're going to look at how God deals with mankind. We're going to see God's love, provision. We're going to see his mercy, his blessings, his character. We're going to look at his attributes. Now, God, again, as we look at throughout history with mankind, God always desires man to live by faith, right? To live by faith. We see that mentioned several times in the New Testament. We see it in Galatians. We see it in Hebrews. On the just are always just because of their faith. So their faith in God, the Creator, dictates their behavior, their thought process, how they live their life. So faith is a key element, right? And so when we look at an attribute of God in the Old Testament, you know, we're going to see and hear look like. What does a faithful God look like? How can we see that? How can we see what a faithful God looks like?
He supplies their needs.
Right. Mm-hmm. He supplies their needs.
In battle.
Right.
They're
with them in battle. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to see, right? So the Old Testament doesn't teach doctrine directly. Old Testament doesn't teach doctrine directly. It illustrates it through stories. It illustrates a doctrine. So it doesn't teach a doctrine. It illustrates it for us. So we can see in the Old Testament, we're going to notice, we're going to have a few things. We're usually going to have characters. We're going to have some characters, we're going to have a story, a plot, right? We're going to have a culture. So we're going to have characters, we're going to have a story, we're going to have a culture, and through that, we'll see what God's doing. So it's through like those three main elements right there that we see in the Old Testament. Now again, as we read, we're going to notice that God changes how he deals with mankind. God himself never changes, but how he deals with man does change, right? I'll give you an example. In the Old Testament, okay, in the book, I think it's in Numbers, There's a story of someone who takes off their right sandal, spits in the face of someone, and slaps them in the face of their sandal. And God allowed that. Now, would we do that now? No, right? We wouldn't do that now. So it was a cultural thing back then that God allowed it to happen, right? So we'll see how God will change how he deals with man throughout time. And it gets kind of more and more detailed as time goes on. Does that make sense? Any questions so far? I want you guys to think of a couple of Old Testament stories. Anywhere in the Old Testament. Anywhere. Noah? Okay, what's that story about?
God got fed up with mankind and was going to destroy all of his creation because he was sick of them. And he chose seven people that he would not destroy. I told Noah to build the ark and his family was safe. Mm-hmm.
And what does that story teach us?
God is love in that he saved a select few, but he's also very strict in that if you don't do what he tells you, he will destroy you.
Okay. And so we see that what were the attributes that the men that were saved, what did they have? So why were they allowed to live?
Because they believed God and obeyed.
Yeah, Noah was righteous, right? So he in and of himself, nothing special about him. So God didn't like want to choose them as if they're someone special, right? What was special about them was their behavior, their love for God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So they on their own, in their own will, were living a certain way against what the norm was, and God said, I'm going to allow them to live. I'm going to allow them, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so we see God honoring proper behavior in that time. So we're not going to say, and I agree with you, Don, 100%. We're not going to say for us now, though, that if I disobey God, he'll destroy me. God doesn't destroy his children right away, or if at all sometimes. It's different, isn't it? We see grace displayed different now than during Noah's day, don't we? Only grace we see is those that chose to live righteous before God were saved. All those that chose to not live righteous, God wiped them out. We have believers in Christ nowadays that are disobeying and living in sin, and God is not destroying them. God's not killing them. So you see how it changes? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
There are some people that, like the scripture says, there are some people who, if they're believers but not living the way they should, that sometimes God will take them home.
Sometimes. Yep, yeah. Sometimes.
He does still do that.
Yep, sometimes, but not all. If that were the case, every believer at Corinth would be dead. Right? Yeah. So there's grace, there's time to grow, right? Every believer that was living in sin in Thessalonica would be dead. That's not the case, is it? So, we see God's grace displayed differently. Not only that, but, you know, in Noah's day, they weren't born again, were they? The Holy Spirit was not indwelling them, correct? No, they were just mankind living how mankind wanted. That was it. So now it's different when I'm sealed to how God treats unsaved people nowadays. It's different than how he treated them back then also. Crazy, huh? So we see God never changes, but how he deals with man in general does change. What other Bible stories can we think of? In the Old Testament. Any other Bible stories in the Old Testament that we can think of?
Joseph and his brothers.
Excellent. Joseph and his brothers. What's that story about?
Joseph was chosen son of Jacob, wasn't it Jacob?
Yeah.
And his brothers didn't like him because he was the favorite son, the youngest one. They killed him. Mm-hmm. They tried to kill him, threw him in a pit, thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. Went back home, told her dad he was eaten by wild beasts.
Right. Yep.
That whole story, and then how Joseph ends up being in charge of Egypt, and his family comes down because of a famine. Mm-hmm. He recognizes them, they don't recognize him. He provides for them. So it's a biblical story in the form of a family.
Mm-hmm. Right, so how do we see God in that story?
He's a provider.
God's a provider.
Very strict, I guess.
Okay, what else do we see about God in the story of Joseph going to Egypt? In what way? So did God author Joseph to be put in that pit and murdered by his brothers, per se? Did God author that? Did God desire, did God want that to happen? No, he's not gonna, God doesn't tempt anyone to do sin, right? James chapter 1. But what about Romans 8:28? All things work together for good. That's a good principle, right? It's in the New Testament. So God could take a bad situation, and Joseph didn't bail out on God. It would have been different if Joseph said, forget God, I'm out of here, right? But Joseph stayed true to the Lord, and Romans 8:28 was able to be seen in that. God didn't author or choose Joseph to go through that hard time, like Job, but he allowed it to happen, and something good came from it. See how that works? Yeah. So you see how Old Testament stories are types and shadows of what we can see in the New Testament, but they don't directly apply to us today. Does that make sense? So we can't say, well, look at how God provided for Joseph, how he was the Pharaoh's right-hand man. That doesn't happen to all born-again believers today. Just because you give your boss wisdom and insight on how to do things well doesn't mean he's going to say, God's with you, and you're going to be with me, and you know you're in charge of everything. You know that doesn't always happen, does it? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So, but God, what we see God doing is, yes, God providing for his children when they don't bail out on him during tough circumstances, right? God's not authoring the circumstance. He's allowing it to happen. He's not authoring my behavior. He's not controlling how I behave, but he allows me to behave as I want. And in response to how I behave, the provision comes in different and various ways. So do we see that? Do we see how it's kind of illustrated? Right? Okay. Any thoughts on that? Any questions? Okay, again, the Old Testament is God's revelation of himself to us. And we can remember Bible stories that teach good principles. Again, Old Testament doesn't teach doctrine directly, but indirectly through stories and through different laws that we're going to see when the law comes to the children of Israel. So, if we were to think about it in our own minds, with what we know about the Old Testament, what are some big sections that the Old Testament covers? What are some big sections the Old Testament covers? You are chunk it up.
The law.
We see the law. Excellent. Yep, we see the law.
Mm-hmm. History.
History, yep. Good.
Obedience.
What was that?
Obedience.
We see obedience. Absolutely.
Creation,
yep.
Mm-hmm.
exile of the nation of Israel to Babylon.
Right. Absolutely. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm. And the return of Nehemiah.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. I'm stirring up your hearts and minds now to remember the Old Testament. So creation, then we see sin, right? Creation, we see sin, we see mankind's responsibilities towards God under sin, before the law, right? We see 2,500 years of nothing of Yeshua, right? There's nothing about a Jesus. Nothing about a sacrifice coming or anything. We do see a lot of God's sacrifice, though, absolutely. Yep. So we see God's responsibility towards, or man's responsibility towards God under certain times of the Bible. We call them dispensations. They're just different administrations, different times, how God moves with different people throughout history. We see the nation of Israel forming, right, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The nation of Israel forming, and then the nation of Israel actually being a nation once it's there in Egypt, and then coming out of Egypt. We see the law come into effect, and we see prophecy, right? We see a lot of prophecy. A lot of prophecies already happened. That was mentioned in the Old Testament. A lot still hasn't happened yet. So those are about the like four or five main things that we see. Creation, sin, man's responsibility towards God under sin. We see the nation of Israel forming through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see the nation of Israel in and of itself given the law. We see the prophesying of a Messiah coming there in Isaiah about 600 years or so after the law was given. And we see that come to pass. And we see a lot of future things for Israel for in the millennium, right? Tribulation and millennium. What part don't we see in the Old Testament? That's a huge part of the Bible. Huge part of the New Testament. What part don't we see in the Old Testament? That's a huge part of the New Testament.
Okay. God.
Christ. What?
God in creation, or God incarnate in Jesus.
Yep, that's true. We didn't see a whole lot of that. Well, they did have some prophecies about Emmanuel, which means God with us. Okay. Yep. The church. The church was a mystery, right? There's no prophecies about a church. There's nothing about the church time. It was a mystery. You know, it just wasn't revealed until Paul was revealed to him through God. So for the last 2,000 years, in the Old Testament, there's nothing mentioned about a church. Nothing mentioned about a new administration. Nothing mentioned about a Jew and Gentile being one, about Christ being the head of all things, about mystery of Satan in the tribulation period, that wasn't there, right? So the Old Testament skipped over where we're at now. It skipped over all the epistles, right? Paul's letters, there's nothing really in the Old Testament that have Paul's letters. There are things that Paul does where he mentions the Old Testament to say, hey, the scripture is said here, and here's how it came true, usually Messianic scriptures, right? But not a whole lot about the church. Does that make sense? All right, it was a mystery. Okay? All right, so the Bible, how it was divided in the Old Testament, we see there's five parts. There's five main parts in the Old Testament. The first part we see is, we're going to go over it, the law, right? So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So Genesis through Deuteronomy is the law. Now, I understand that inside there, in Genesis, the law isn't there, but we're going to cover it. So they put it in an order of a theme. So when they put the Bible together, it was in themes, not chronological. Okay? So we see the law. We see history, like Barry talked about earlier. And history goes from Joshua to Esther. Okay, Joshua to Esther is the history of the Old Testament. We see poetry. There, Job through Song of Solomon. Poetry through Job and Song of Solomon. We see the major prophets. So Isaiah through Daniel. Major prophets. Isaiah through Daniel is the major prophets. And the minor prophets are Hosea through Malachi. So if you look at your Old Testament and you see everything written down, the books in order, that's how they chunked it up, those five parts. So that our minds, or the reader's minds for that matter, can have a proper theme as they're going through it to help the reader understand, right? So it's not chronological order, and when they canonized this and they put it together, they were thinking in themes. That's how they were thinking. Yeah, does that make sense? The style of writing. Any questions on that?
It seems like it's a framework for the New Testament, but what was the time? The Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, it seems if all the stuff, all these things just lead into Jesus, you know, just funnels right there and everything, it seems like it. There's no contradiction.
Right.
For those parts, mm-hmm. Or that I can tell.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit.
Yep. God's Word, He Himself, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, they're all unified, like you're saying. It's all one big harmony. Now, any questions so far on the Old Testament, what we've talked about? All right, let's look at prophecy in the Old Testament. Let's look at prophecy. If I was to put my mind back of what I know of the Old Testament and prophecy, what do I know about prophecy in the Old Testament? What do I know about it? Any thoughts? Was prophecy always about, in the Old Testament, was it always about the end of the world, or a millennial kingdom, or a tribulation period? No, most of it wasn't, right? Most of it was on, if you behave this way, God will allow this to happen. If you disobey, God will bring this to happen. So we see a lot of prophecy being talked about through obedience and disobedience, and the cause and effect of that. How many of us can remember a prophet speaking in the Old Testament and what they talked about? Well, what did a prophet speak in the Old Testament and what they talked about? Remember any prophecies? Right, and what did the Ninevites do? They turned to God, right? Mm-hmm. Yep, all was good, all was well. Yep, that's a good one, excellent. What other kind of prophecies do we see? Don't remember? I mean, look at Jeremiah. You know, talking about the children of Israel. If they repent, things will go well. But if they don't, they'll be led captive into Babylon. That's one. Anything else? Well, good. This will be a good learning point for us to learn about prophecy. Now is mainly dealing with the time there. And so when we get into Isaiah and different books, we'll notice that it's firsthand applied to children of Israel at that time, but there is a hidden secondary message for them in the future also, from a Messiah coming later. So a lot of prophecies about Christ weren't directly to the children of Israel at that time, but secondary for the future. And we'll look at all that kind of stuff.
Would the flood be considered a prophecy?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it came to pass, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It didn't happen right away, but it did happen. You're right. So in the Old Testament, what are you wanting to learn in this Old Testament survey? What are you guys wanting to learn? Do you have a thought on what you want to learn?
Seems like the point of it is to learn to make your life better, to get a better understanding of the Creator, of Jesus, and all this stuff. And what else can we have, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, life itself.
Yep, and we'll look at the context. So we'll look at what God meant to the people at that time. But we'll do first-hand context first, and you'll notice that most of it has nothing to do with us. So there's not a lot that we can apply to our lives, but there's things that we can learn, right? And like you're saying, Barry, we can learn about God. We can learn about how God dealt with man during this time, and how he does not deal with man that same way nowadays. So you're going to see a lot of how God is changing his dealings with man. That's what you're going to see a lot of. Okay? You're going to see a lot of that. A lot of how God's changing his dealings with man for different types of people. Right? So if you look at it dispensationally, do you guys remember your dispensations from that study? What was the first dispensation? What's the first administration? What's the first time? History. Innocence. Yep. So Genesis 1, Genesis 3, there's creation, there's Adam and Eve, things are perfect, everything's fine, everything's innocent, everything's going well until when? Sin, right? Yeah. You said the apple? It's interesting. Why would it be an apple? Right, the fruit, right? Yeah, so don't know if it's an apple, because I love apples, so I'm not going to say yeah.
It was probably a tree.
I think it was so bad it doesn't exist anymore. God's like, nope, that fruit's done. So we see we ate the fruit, right? So now what time period are we in? God dealt differently with mankind in innocence, right? He walked with man, he talked with man, he fellowshiped with man, things were great, and then sin happened. Right? So now we have the dispensation of what? You guys remember?
And then felt guilt of the shame of yourself for the distance between God and man, accepting each other for who they really are.
Right. So their conscience is their guide, right? So we have conscience now. So their conscience is guiding them. There's no law. Right, they don't need to sacrifice. They can sacrifice for different things, but we don't know what's required of a sacrifice. Okay, God still talks audibly with mankind in the timeline of conscience. Okay, and so we let mankind live. They're accountable to God. God now kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, and God still speaks idly with people, but he's not walking with them. Okay, so man didn't lose fellowship with God. Man still has fellowship with them if they're behaving the right way. Right? God can still talk to them audibly. All right, so we see that for a while. Then what changes? So we have sin happening. Things are going. We have, people, being born, living. And then Genesis chapter 9, what happens? You mentioned it earlier.
Noah,
right? Noah and the flood. So God saw man's heart was evil continually, right? Evil continually, except for one family. They still chose to serve God, live for God. So God wiped out all of mankind and want to start over new. So in Genesis chapter 9, another administration happens. Now we have human government. Now God says in Genesis 9, okay, here's the thing. You guys can do an eye for an eye now. You guys can have capital punishment. You guys can now eat meat. We actually, for the first time, mankind is allowed by God to actually eat meat. So we didn't see that before Genesis chapter 9. Right? So now the family is in charge of the family, human government. We're now in charge of the family. We're now, again, we don't have sacrifices that are required, but you can sacrifice to God. We don't know the details on why they would sacrifice or why they would, but they do, right? So that goes on for a time. Then what changes? What does God start doing? The conscience is still guiding them, but now they have kind of a government structure, right? God And Genesis 9 gives them kind of more details on how to live. And then it goes on. What do we start seeing in Genesis 12? Abraham comes on the scene, right? We have Abraham, and now God's kind of zoning in on a nation. And it takes time, right? It takes time for a nation. Now, was Abraham's entire family loving God and serving God? We know his dad was an idolater, right? His dad had idols. Now, Abraham was loving God and serving God. Okay? So we see God calling Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees, out of Iraq, and bringing him over to where God wanted him to go. And Abraham, by faith, saying, okay. And it took years and years and years to get children and grandchildren and this nation starting to form. We start seeing it to where they get down to get back to Egypt. And then once they're in Egypt, was God talking to the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at that time? Absolutely. We have stories we'll go over where God's audibly talking to them, and they're having a conversation with God back. And we start to see that now the nation goes to Egypt, and it really populates and grows. And now they're established as God's people, the Hebrews. And now they're going to be released and go out. And as they're released and they go out, what do we see in Exodus chapter 12 and 20? The law, right? The law comes in and says, hey, you guys are now my nation. I'm choosing you to represent me. Here's what I'm going to give you guys. Here's the law. Do you want this or not? And what'd they say? Yes, we do, right? So now we have the law. So we go from dispensation of promise, which is Abraham, to now a dispensation or administration of now the law. And the Bible focuses more on the law now. And that goes, so we have the law until when? When does the law end? The law ends when Christ dies and resurrects, right? Yep, Galatians tells us that Christ was to bring the nation of Israel to fulfill the law. Christ was a schoolmaster to fulfill the law and to redeem them from the law. So now we have our administration, which is the church, or grace, whatever you want to call it. Now, when will this end? When will this time end? At the rapture, right? Yep, all born again believers will be taken out. Boom. And sometime after that, we don't know when, but sometime after that, we'll have the seven-year tribulation period. And then we see a lot of Old Testament being fulfilled, 7 years. Then we have the millennial reign, 1,000 years, and the new heaven and new earth. Well, that's the big chunks of plans that are being laid out. So we see four big ones in the Old Testament. Four big ones. Innocence, conscience, human government, promise, and law. Five big ones in the law. We'll cover all of those. So if you look at your Old Testament and then that aspect, those five ways, it's going to help you look at and go, okay, there's no law right now. There's no required sacrifice or anything. How is God dealing with Noah at this time, or mankind at this time? It's going to help you when you understand what administration or what time period we're in when we're reading our Bible. Does that make sense what I'm saying? What did you guys hear me say?
There are various administrations going on at various points in the Bible. So at each one you have to see what's governing at that point, what's God's relationship with man at that point in time.
Right. Good. Anything else? What do you guys hear me say? That's about it. Did that overwhelm you? Was it too much?
It's a lot.
It's a lot?
It's a lot. Mm-hmm.
And that, thankfully, we're going to do a survey, so we'll break it down in real life. I'm not going to go over every Bible story. We're not going to go over every chapter of the Bible. We're going to go over chunks. Okay, that's how we're going to chunk it up, more dispensationally in our survey. We'll see it kind of play out that way. And I'll mention what happens in these dispensations, but we're not going to necessarily read all of them. Okay, we can get the gist of what the story is telling us by just summarizing. Don, will you pray for us?
Father, we're thankful for the fact that you have given us your word, that we can look back and see how you deal with mankind, how you for us, how you discipline us, and most of all, how you have saved us.